The people at Ligonier Ministries remind us, know what you believe, why you believe it, how to live it, and how to share it. And so each week at Daleville Christian Church, we affirm our faith and this affirmation from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We believe Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. God's word for today from Mark's Gospel, the 7th chapter, verses 18 through 23. And here it is Jesus speaking. And Jesus speaking to his disciples. Are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. May the Lord add his blessing this reading of his holy word. We're going to talk about questions that have been on everyone's mind recently here in the United States. But friends, I must warn you that this sermon is going to turn very, very dark before we begin to see any light at the end of it. But we begin with a question or a set of questions that people around this country are asking themselves. What is going on? What is really going on? Why are we having these troubles? And I don't think I have to go into too much detail as to what people are talking about. On the night of October 1st, 2017, a gunman opened fire on a crowd of 22,000 concertgoers at the Las Vegas Strip in Nevada, leaving 58 people dead and 546 injured. A 64-year-old Stephen Paddock of Mesquite, Nevada, fired hundreds of rifle rounds from rooms on the 32nd floor of a nearby hotel. Paddock was found dead in his room from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. His motive is unknown. What we do know about Paddock makes the whole thing even stranger. He had planned the shooting, and it took him several days to get all the weapons and ammunition into the rooms. And Paddock apparently had several million dollars in his own personal accounts. Why would a rich man in America do this? The incident is the deadliest mass shooting committed by an individual in the United States. Then on Sunday morning, November 5th, in a small community in Texas, a gunman opened fire on a church during worship services. At least 26 people were killed, ranging in age from 18 months to 77 years. At least 20 others were injured in the attack and taken to local hospitals. One of the 26 killed had died on the way to the hospital. The perpetrator of this crime was known to the police and had already been convicted of violence. His name was Devin Kelly, 26 years old, and like the Las Vegas shooter, took his own life after taking so many others' lives. He had at least one connection to the Baptist church congregation, but the killer had not made sure that the woman was present in worship before he opened fire outside and inside the church, killing children at point-blank range. And the city of Chicago only has 617 murders this year. That is several fewer than this time last year. At the same time, the city of Indianapolis is prepared to pass last year's murder victims' numbers. The number of murders in Indianapolis has gone up every year for the last 4 years. Every year has been a new record number of murders for Indianapolis, Indiana. I can go on. The amount of fraud is so staggering that you and I can barely get our heads around the numbers. But in the largest one-person fraud scheme, Bernie Madoff in 2008 was discovered to have stolen $65 billion. This next fraud scheme goes back to 2003, but it's still one of the top 10 in recent history. Richard Scrushy led a healthcare company. Scrushy only went to jail for bribing the governor of Alabama. But five of his financial officers pleaded guilty to account fraud, $1.4 billion. In another case, just two men who worked for the Tyco Corporation personally soaked $3.2 billion from the company. Now, this next couple I want to mention aren't the biggest swindlers, but they are local and they are recent. In October of this year, here in our county, Mr. and Mrs. Aaron Finan were convicted for mail fraud and money laundering to the tune of $1.2 million from Amazon. This hurts all of us since the Amazon company employs more than 9,000 full-time workers in our state. At its five Indiana fulfillment centers, four of which are in central Indiana. Amazon is Indiana's 15th largest employer in the state, but an Indiana couple stole over $1 million of goods and or money from the company. So the questions come pretty regularly whenever friends talk. What's going on? What's happening? Why is this happening? And why is it happening now? Now, there are some pastors who are certain that all of this is mentioned in the Bible, and there are Bible verses one can turn to. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man." I will mention in some detail concerning the days of Noah in a few minutes. Another Bible verse that appears to confirm that we live in a special time in history says in 2 Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Terrible times in the last days, says 2 Timothy. I believe it, but are we living in the last days? Maybe, maybe not. Now, no one has directly asked me my opinion, but I share it, and then we will get to what the Bible also suggests is really going on, and then we might see some light at the end of this tunnel. But as to my opinion, I remind you that I am an historian. I have a much bigger picture in my head when I see what's going on in this country. First of all, the statistics tell us that in the United States, violence has actually been declining. But no one cares about statistics, especially if their loved one has been one of those statistics. However, I would remind you that for some people in the United States, life is better than it has been for many years. African Americans are much better off in this century than in the 20th century and in the 19th century, when many of them were slaves. I would suggest that the mentally ill and the physically disabled are much better off in this century than in the last two centuries, when they were almost always institutionalized with minimum care. Now, with medication and computers, many can live much better lives independently, even be employed. Almost anyone who has needed a transplant or replacement is much better off in this century than in the last two centuries. So are things worse now than ever? Well, maybe they are, but it might depend on who you ask. What else does history teach? Yes, these mass murders happened this year, but it's nothing like the religious wars of the 1500s in Europe, when religious people in the name of the church and in the name of God burned each other's towns to the ground and killed their inhabitants, when they hunted down people we might call Baptists and tortured them to confess their sins and then killed them if they didn't. And they believed that they were doing the right thing. They believed they were stamping out heresy and godlessness. Or why talk about Europe? Let's talk about our own Civil War. Just 150 years ago, we killed each other in an attempt to keep the institution of slavery. And we barely understand that slavery today. Slave owners and slave renters, because you didn't have to own slaves to benefit from slavery, you could rent or even employ your neighbor's slaves on your projects. Or the city could employ some of your slaves for public building projects. And whenever costs are involved, everyone wants to save money, so are slaves going to be treated fairly or gently or kindly? Not if it costs anything. After the Civil War, many industries in the North were slave drivers to the immigrants pouring into this country. Working conditions were life-threatening and appalling. That's how labor unions got started, and people got killed starting labor unions. So if businesses and corporations would abuse free people, what do you think they did to slaves? We don't like to think about sexual exploitation and slavery, but sexual exploitation came right along with slavery. So today, slavery is illegal in this country, but sexual slavery is real today, and it's still going on in this state and in the United States. So are things worse now? As an historian, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that things are worse. Having said that, I remain open. I will hear arguments on either side as to whether things are worse today. But hear me, Jesus' return will happen. But Jesus' return will happen whenever Jesus' return will happen. Jesus' return doesn't have to happen in my lifetime. I don't have to be living in the end times, but Jesus will return someday because Jesus said so. So whether it is tomorrow or the next century, Jesus' words still stand. Repent. Jesus is saying, get off the path you are on. Jesus said, follow me. So as an historian, I'm not convinced that things are any worse than they have ever been, and I would make a case that for some humans on this planet, life is better than it has ever been. In the most general terms, we live longer, have better health, there's plenty of food, we just can't get it delivered, and we've learned how to produce more food than we ever thought was possible. And there are computers. If you have a cell phone, you have more computing power in your hand than NASA had when we landed on the moon. It might not mean much to you. It means a big lift in my quality of life. With this question, what's going on? Why is all this happening? Why is all this happening now? There are certain people who are surprised or taken aback by recent media stories. And I suggest that if you hold any of the following beliefs, you will be dismayed by current events. If you believe that people are basically good, you will be dismayed at current events. If you believe that there is good in everybody, you will be dismayed at current events. If you believe that you live in a Christian country or that Christianity is a dominant religion, you will be dismayed at current events. Or if you've never scratched the surface of human behavior, the human condition, or talked to criminals, or the impoverished, or the mentally ill, you will be dismayed at current events. Or if for whatever reason you believe that everyone you know is incapable of doing something terrible, you will be dismayed at current events. So what to me is the biblical answer to what is going on today? Friends, I submit to you that these reports we are hearing today are not exceptions to the rule. I submit to you that these terrible things that are happening today are the rule. This is who we are as human beings. This is who we are as a species. And I believe I have support from God's Word, the Bible. Look, we read in Genesis, God creates man creates man, Adam and Eve had children, man kills man. God creates man kills man. First book of the Bible, Genesis, God creates man creates man kills man, and it all happens before we get to chapter 4 of the first book of the Bible that has 66 books. But let's go on to chapter 6 of the Bible in the first book of Genesis. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil at all times. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. First book of the Bible, chapter 6, verse 5, following. So, chapter 6, first book in the Bible, God creates man creates man murders man. Chapter 6, God gives up. God gives up. It took just two chapters from humanity's first murder to God's despair for the whole creation experiment. Now, I would just notice that the serpent, or Satan, was directly involved in this mess in chapter 3 of Genesis. Involved, but he didn't cause it. Adam and Eve decided to sin. And the serpent isn't mentioned again until the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. Now, I would notice that some people's religion is attempting to keep God from destroying them. Think about it. Many ancient civilizations, the Aztecs, the Mayans, would even sacrifice other human beings in order for the gods to keep from destroying their city, for the gods to continue to provide sunshine, rain, and crops. We see many modern people with this same view of their religion when bad things happen to them. Why is God punishing me? Why is God trying to destroy me? Why is God trying to destroy my life? This is the attitude of Job's friends in the book of Job. Job's so-called friends are certain that Job has so offended the Lord God that God has taken everything from Job and afflicted him with sores from head to toe. The book of Job does tell us that God allowed Job's pain, but God himself is not trying to destroy us. The Bible is letting us know, first book of the Bible, God creates man creates man, man murders man, chapter 6, God gives up. We, humanity, are capable, willing, and maybe determined to destroy ourselves. The whole Bible is more about God trying to keep humanity from destroying itself. Some people see God as trying to get them. I suggest the whole Bible is more about God trying to keep us from destroying ourselves. And what does that say about us? Well, what it means is that all the ways we talk about ourselves are indeed true. We will shoot ourselves in our own foot. We will cut off our own noses to spite our faces. We will take drugs willingly until we overdose on them. We will even desperately take drugs until we overdose on them, and we will ingest anything to get what we want, even if it kills us. Friends, we have police to serve and protect. We have now enlisted the local police to save us from our own drug overdoses. The question has come up whether we should stock our school so we can enlist school personnel to save us from our own drug overdoses. And recently, a nearby school corporation has just voted to keep Narcan, a drug for interrupting drug overdoses, and that antidote will be available in every public school in that school system. So the Bible suggests to me that when we read of mass murders, computer hacking corporations for personal info in order to get money, sexual slavery, ISIS, drug overdoses, Syria, The Bible says it's just another day outside paradise. It's just another day outside paradise, where God consigned the sinning Adam and Eve. We are living outside paradise. Now, even if you're not sure of the whole Adam and Eve thing, because you don't have to be sure about Adam and Eve in order to be saved, that's not what we ask you. We only ask you about whether you believe in Jesus and take him as your Lord and Savior. We don't ask you about Adam and Eve. And even if you're not sure about them, science says we are all descended from one person genetically. And further, that every one of us is related. We are all no further related than 22nd cousin. I don't have the chart, but you can do the math yourselves. We are all human beings, Homo sapiens. And some of us are, as my brother told me growing up, my older brother, some of us are part Neanderthal, because that's what my older brother told me I was. Is there any hope for us? Is there any hope for us? The Bible says no. There is no hope for us. We, humanity, are not our own hope. God is our hope. We are hopeless. Only God can save us. Only God can save us from ourselves. The good news is that God wants to save us. God made a promise after he destroyed the earth, as written in the very first book of the Bible. God promised, after the Bible records God's despair and regret in humanity, it quickly states, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." And after the flood, God made a promise, Genesis chapter 8, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood." God will not destroy the earth, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. So somewhere in God's heart, God knew that God had to come up with a plan to save humanity, to save humanity from itself. And so, friends, it's perfect to begin to bring this message to a conclusion, because next week is Advent, the time of the year when we talk about God's plan to save humanity from itself. The prophet Zechariah said, "The Lord their God will save his people on that day as a shepherd saves his flock." And the angel said to Joseph, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, speaking of Mary's pregnancy, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." God is going to save us from our sins. The Lord is going to help keep us from destroying ourselves if we will repent from that and follow Jesus. The Lord God is going to help keep us from destroying ourselves if we will repent from that and follow Jesus. The second letter to the Thessalonians states that there are people among us who are perishing. Remember Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:16, which so many of us can quote by heart, "God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, Jesus came so we would not perish because we were perishing, and many are perishing. And 2 Thessalonians states, those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. So they're perishing, even if at their own hand. God is trying to save us. God has promised to do so. And the angel said to Mary, when she was told she was to bring the Messiah into our world, no word of God will ever fail. I would close with Jesus' words to his disciples, Luke chapter 12. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Amen.